Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Mike Fires a snitch. That's the word David Ortiz used to describe the pitcher who, outed the Astros sign-stealing scheme. You know, I understood Ortiz's overall point, which was that he didn't do it while he was on the team or, like, while he was in the midst of it. But the word snitch is going to resonate with people because, you know, a snitch comes from crime families. You know, some crime family is doing stuff. You snitch on the boss, the guy above you, or street drug dealers. You know, you're moving a bunch of weight, and one of the street corner guys tells on the guy who's supplying, he's a snitch. So that word is just going to set off some reaction, that's for sure. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. And you know what's tough for Rob Manfred here? Not that he hasn't been a miserable failure in how he's handled this, but what's tough for him regarding Ortiz, not Ortiz specifically, but the team Ortiz used to play for, the Red Sox, if you're Manfred and you find out that the Red Sox have done similar things to what the Astros did, I don't know exactly the extent of what went on in Boston, but let's say something was going on in Boston as well. How comfortable is he exposing that, considering where he's at with the Astros right now and the backlash that he's gotten with the Astros right now? I mean, I promise you he'll be very careful in the information, at least the way it is relayed. But if we have a part two, if we have a sequel, the World Series 2017 and the World Series 2018, both influenced by cheating scandals, whoo boy. Let's go to Doug in South Carolina. Doug, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Robin.
What's up, man?
Well, I'm a teacher here in South Carolina, and I tell my students all the time, I get sick of hearing the word snitch. Because my thing is, if you're not doing something you're not supposed to be doing, then you don't need to worry about somebody telling on you. As far as when Friars did it, of course he didn't do it when he was on the team for two reasons. He was a member of the team. You know, that's what it is. But if the Astros really think or really thought that somebody that they either cut, trade, release, demote, isn't going to say something when they go to another team, then they're just as stupid. You know, Friar's not saying it. He was a pitcher on their team. What they were doing weren't affecting his stats. When he goes to another team, now what they're doing is going to affect his stats when he plays now. Hey, you're doing something wrong. Somebody told on you, that's your problem.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, where he's benefiting, even if it's, you know, on the outside, not directly, it will, by what they're doing, when he's out of there, it is easier for him to say it. Again, not just because of his own stats, but because he doesn't have to worry about the fallout from his teammates. But as far as the way this goes, it's a tough situation for him. I get it. You know, if you were a real hero, you'd expose him in front of cameras while it was going on. You'd stand up and say, "Hey, I'm, you know, a part of this, but I can't be because they're doing this." After the fact, it's better than nothing. But I also wouldn't label him a snitch. You know, there's somewhere between a hero and a snitch, and I wouldn't call him either of those things. Dan in California. Dan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Yeah, I think they cheat in baseball more than everybody wants to acknowledge, all right? When you watch replays on the game, when on TV, okay, all the announcers are saying which pitch is coming by showing the catcher when he puts one for a fastball, two for a curve.
Yes, but that's not the same thing, Dan. That's not the same thing.
No, wait a second. Let me finish, okay? They got the monitors on TV on when they're doing that, okay? You don't think every other team, I'm not saying it's right to be banging garbage cans and all that, but you don't think that the modern technology now, if we were to put this in the old days, we wouldn't be talking about this. They didn't have TV cameras like they do nowadays that could actually see what the pitcher and the catcher are doing. They didn't have that in the old days, if you get what I'm trying to say. And if you think about it, you can go a step further. Every baseball team cheats when they put that little stickum on the baseball bat.
Sure. Look, I mean, look, there's been cheating in baseball forever to some degree, right? Like corking bats. Bill James says that Babe Ruth corked his bat. Sammy Sosa, obviously a famous example of corking his bat. PEDs, let's throw Sosa back in there, McGuire, Bonds, Clemens, etc. As far as, you know, greenies, that's another thing. I don't know how much I consider that cheating or not, but so on and so forth. Pine tar. Basically, baseball players are fine with pine tar when it's used. They don't even want to tell them the guy's using pine tar. But there is a line here that was crossed, clearly, by the way that everybody else has reacted. And as far as, like, again, stealing signs on the field is not even close to the same thing. I don't want to hear that from anyone else. Please, no one else bring that up. Please. How can you not see the difference? It's not the same thing. Not the same thing. That's just figuring it out. That's just observing and retaining the information and deciphering the information. It's not using the technology to benefit you and relaying it in real time to somebody at the plate who's not able to do it. You know, if you were at the plate batting and you were able to, like, glance down and see the sign and then know what's coming, you're not cheating. But if you're at the plate and one of your teammates is watching from a camera somewhere else and then telling you what's coming, that's cheating. It's easy to figure that, see that difference. Paul in Canada. Paul, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. I just want one quick comment. All the players on that Houston team that won the World Series, they should all have an asterisk beside their name, and when it becomes coming to the Hall of Fame, they should be denied.
Okay.
That's just my comment on that, because of all the other stuff that people are used with cheating in the game, should be denied in that Hall of Fame reign. That's all I have to say.
Well, look, with PEDs, that's been like the punishment, I suppose, if you will. The ultimate punishment has been those guys being kept out of the Hall of Fame. I think they should be in, but the voters obviously think differently, and that's why Bonds is not in and Clemens is not in and so on and so forth. In this case, it's a little different and tougher because the team is benefiting, not just the individuals. You know, I mean, of course, the team benefits from a PED user via their statistics. So there is a, you know, a related benefit, but it's not a coordinated team thing. Unless we had a team full of, like, super soldiers, right? I don't know if we had one team that had a complete performance-enhancing drug program versus the others that was better than the others. I mean, we don't know that, but we knew about individuals, right? And yeah, of course, if Barry Bonds is getting on base half the time and hitting 60 home runs, he is helping the Giants. But that's not a coordinated scheme by the Giants. This is a coordinated scheme by the Astros, which makes it tougher because it's not one individual you can punish. You know, again, when we're talking about organized crime, there is a parallel there because it is like organized crime. It was a whole mafia scheme by the entire Astros team. Let's go to Jerry in South Carolina. Jerry, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, this is kind of outside the box here a little bit. You know, as far as punishment or to hurt the Astros, again, you're not going to forfeit games in the regular season. But spring training is also a time for the owner to make money as well. So, you know, what teams could do if the players are really that upset, the owners are that upset, they could take a few games during the year and not go to the Astros spring training. I mean, again, you think about the starters, your pitchers aren't going to pitch one or two innings, and your starters may get one at bat if they go. But again, you know, that could be a way to hurt the Astros attendance. I know that's outside of the box. It's not going to happen. But it's just something that that if they really want to hurt Jim Crane and the Astros organization, I mean, I hurt them as much as a regular season game, but it may hurt them a little bit, just kind of outside the box. Just your comments. Have a good day.
Yeah, trying to punish them monetarily. Look, I mean, the Astros are going to be the most watched team in baseball this year. That's, you know, the opposite effect, I guess, of what you would want there. But I think people are going to be interested in what happens in their games, whether they get thrown at, how they play without this. So I think the focus is actually on them. As far as attendance, I mean, I just don't think any of that stuff is going to happen. So this is a decision the commissioner has to make. He's the only one that really can influence these things. And he's already made his decision. He's already poorly explained it. The only thing I think that can help him is to come out and take further action because people clearly want further action taken. If not, I don't really know what's going to happen with this story because I don't think it's going away without further action being taken. And then the players are going to take action and then it's going to spiral out of control. Like I said, Rob Manfred has lost control of his sport. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is Robin Lundberg here on CBS Sports Radio, and I'll get back to your calls on Mike Fiers being labeled a snitch for outing the Astros sign-stealing scheme at 855-212-4227 in just a second. But I had asked Anthony a question during the break. I'm going to take it to the air because I saw this, and I thought it was interesting. The best lineup in the NBA by the numbers, not only is it the best crunch time lineup, but it's the best five-man unit by the numbers, period. What team is it on, Anthony? You've had some time to think. You guessed a few. You said the what was your first guess? The Raptors? No. The Jazz? No. Are you there yet? Have you? It's not. Let me give you a hint. It's not one of the like contenders, the teams that get mentioned all the time.
I'll go with Pelicans.
Not the Pelicans either. Not the Pelicans either.
The Grizzlies.
Not the Grizzlies either.
You might as well just tell me at this point now.
They're led by someone who was considered a bad contract as of this summer because of his age. And he was traded.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have the best five-man lineup in the entire NBA, which is Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder, Danilo Gallinari, and Steven Adams. So it's a three-point guard lineup. And Chris Paul is also the number one clutch scorer in the league this year.
Also, Billy Donovan does a very good job. He's a good coach.
No, I mean, clearly he's doing. He went to them and talked to them about playing three-point guards together because he said basically you are three of my five best players. We got to figure out a way to make this work. And those three guys have played together, even though none of them are, what are they, all like 6'1", I think Paul is. Schroeder is like 6'1", and then Gilgeous Alexander's taller. He's probably like 6'5 or so. But nevertheless, that it's a smaller lineup. I mean, Adams is a big guy, and then Gallinari is good at the stretch four position. But Chris Paul, yeah, again, has also been a leader there. And he was great. Chris Paul was in the All-Star game, too. I love seeing this from him. One of the, you know, one of the best point guards who ever lived. So to have this bounce back year with the Thunder and having them in this position is cool to see. Because they, I mean, quiet is kept there. What are they, fifth in the West right now? They're 34-22. They're sitting at sixth in the West. They're a game and a half behind the Rockets, 2.5 behind the Jazz. So they're right in the mix. Let's go to Joseph in Houston. Joseph, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Joseph?
Hey, man. Good morning. So I think you broke the record for the amount of time snitch was used on a broadcast.
There you go. Just stop snitching.
Stop snitching. So listen, I think baseball's got a serious problem. And I think people are being a little too harsh with Manfred. I don't think they're taking into account that there's probably a widespread issue with all the investigations they did on the baseball this year from the amount of home runs that was hit. I think we've got to, you know, be naive not to think that there is a widespread issue going on. Now, I know that baseball has been played the same for about 100 years, and I brought up a couple of times on a couple of the other stations that maybe they need to change the way that the pitcher and the catcher are receiving these messages as far as maybe setting up the pitcher as the one that calls the plays and the catcher is the one that shakes him off or nods him on. Maybe through this technology that's being used against Major League Baseball, use it to their advantage and embrace it a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. You could overhaul the system completely. I mean, you could even put something in an earpiece or, you know, in football, the quarterback obviously has a helmet that can be used to relay signals and all that sort of stuff. That's possible to do for sure. You could modernize the game in general, but as is, what they did was against the rules, and what they did was against the spirit of the game. And that's where, you know, beyond just any rules, clearly that was against the spirit of the game. It's the same as being fed the answers to a test, right? Like, I mean, I guess the difference is if you're fed the answers to a test and you write the answer down, you get it. I mean, you still have to execute. You still have to make contact with the ball. You still have to turn around and hit that pitch you know is coming. But sure, it makes the job a heck of a lot easier and is obvious and blatant cheating and does make me think less of what the Astros accomplished. I mean, I remember thinking about Altuve, like, wow, this guy, like, he comes through in these spots. Well, now I realize why he probably came through in those spots, or at least a big reason why he came through in those spots. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Daniel in Columbia, South Carolina. Daniel, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Mr. Robin?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing well. I've been listening to you for a while. I'm a truck driver headed home, and I was interested in the topic because it seems as though there's more emphasis on the snitcher versus the ones that commit the crime. Mr. Fires, or however you pronounce his name, I commend him for standing up and telling the truth. But to me, we need to be on the people that committed the crime.
Mm-hmm.
A woman cannot be partially pregnant. She's either pregnant or she's not. And in this case, if you committed a crime, then whatever happens to you is on you. For me, I would remove them as a champion, put an asterisk up there or whatever it is to serve notice to the rest of the league that says, if you cross this line, this is what's going to happen to you. But what has happened in this country, in the sports world, in the political world, we've become a nation of justification. Mm-hmm. It's not that you committed a crime. If I can find a reason to justify why I did it, then everybody turns their back. You use the analogy of a mobster, and that's how this country is being run, as though a mobster is running it because he got his boys backing him up, and they're closing their eyes to what's going on. And I feel sorry for the people that stand it up, because those people are being, their lives are being threatened for simply telling the truth. And the person that commits the crime walks around smiling and joking and having fun and continue to do the same thing they've been doing from the beginning. And I wish that you would continue to speak on this subject, because our country has a morality problem.
Dude, I 100% agree. I think there are a lot of parallels. I think, you know, there's no accountability for some of these actions, and getting away with it is all that matters. Getting away with it and having it work for you is all that matters. The underlying issue seemingly doesn't matter anymore. Now, with sports fans, it matters what the Astros did, clearly. And by the public pressure is what is keeping this story going, right? Like, the public pressure and the pressure from the other players is what's keeping this story alive. But certainly there are parallels, I think, and I've raised them a few times, only because I can't avoid them. Like, I wouldn't – I know people – that's not what people want to talk about on this show. I get that. I don't want to talk about it on this show. But I'm also not, like – I'm not going to lie to myself and be naive. And I think in order to be intellectually honest about the conversation, in order to treat it with the care that we would like to treat things with when we're discussing them, and being as articulate and as honest as possible, I do think, yeah, there are parallels to the current state of affairs in the United States of America when people come out and just defend it and say, hey, you know, so what? If you ain't cheated, you ain't winning, or whatever. If you ain't trying, you're not cheating, or whatever the stupid things people say. There are parallels there. And it'd be nice if there were some repercussions for the actions, rather than, you know, people just getting away with it. And then as long as it worked, it's celebrated.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Mike Fiers being labeled a snitch by David Ortiz at 855-212-4227. But like I said at the top of the show, there are some other topics to get to as well, including one or two out of the NBA and the NFL. The NFL and the players currently discussing negotiating a CBA. I always wonder how much people actually care about those discussions, as long as they're not threatening the actual outcome of the season taking place. Let's go to Shan in Chicago. You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot. Good morning to you as well. I just wanted to say thanks, man, for the journalism that you do and how you bring the stories. You're very unbiased, and you're keeping it as real as possible by letting idiots, and I have to call them idiots, who can't understand the concept of cheating. You know, that's basically what it is, and I think that they should just give the title to the other team who didn't cheat. Unless they did, then they just should vacate it. But the way you give it to anyone who don't understand that, you do a terrific job. Just keep doing what you do, and I'm going to continue listening to you and let them know how it should be. You have a great morning. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I don't think you could give the Dodgers the World Series because they didn't win. I think if you're vacating it, you're not handing it to the World Series. They're just... is no World Series winner for this year. And I understand why, you know, like, Rob Manfred didn't want to do that. Like, I do understand that. I mean, that lasts forever. It's not just part of the Wikipedia entry. It's the lead of the Wikipedia entry, right? If you do that. And he is in charge of stewarding the sport overall. So if he does that, it's like a black mark on the sport, you know? So I get it. I get why he didn't want to. At the same time, you know what Rob Manfred failed to do? He failed to convey that he cared. He failed to convey that this is something he struggled with, that this is something that was weighing on him. And I think that's what people wanted to see, too. Like, you could have been more the decision might have been more palatable. In fact, I think it was more palatable for people until Manfred spoke. It wasn't until he spoke that people really got upset about it, right? That's when they got upset about it, after the Astros spoke and clearly were just full of it. And, you know, like, who thought the Astros were sorry? That's wild to think they were going to be sorry. They were carrying this on forever. The analogy I use there is it's like in a relationship, if somebody has a one-night stand, you could buy that they're sorry, right? Like, I mean, apologies to any people who have been on the other end of a one-night stand if that doesn't sit well with you. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, all right, it was a bad night, a bad decision. I'm sorry. I feel bad about it. Like, that I could get. I don't think you could say you're sorry if you're conducting a torrid affair with your mistress over, you know, a period of years. A year, whatever it might be. Like, how are you sorry about that? You're lying to me. You're calling me, telling me you're at the grocery store when you're over there. You know, you're doing all this. You're living a double life, essentially. You're not sorry. You know, there's no way you're sorry about that. So that was the Astros part of it. With Manfred, there was that. Did anyone ever get the sense he was like, you know, this is important to me. This hurts me. This is something that's weighing heavily on me. I'm struggling with. I have emotions about it. I have feelings about. I've wrestled with. No, he just was like, why do I have to answer these questions? Why are other players saying things about players? Ask the players' union. World Series trophy is a piece of metal. You know, like, that's what set people off. And that's where I think the initial punishment came under more scrutiny, was because of how Rob Manfred himself discussed it. 855-212-4227. You know, moving on to some other stuff, there is something, Anthony put this in the rundown, that has caught my eye, because I've had this conversation with people over the last week or so. And that's about the idea that Steph Curry is going to come back this year. And Steph Curry obviously has been out for a minute now. He hurt his hand, wrist falling earlier in the year. And it was, you know, going to be a tough year regardless, even if the Warriors had Steph Curry, because of how poor their roster was, because of the loss of, obviously, Kevin Durant and the loss of Klay Thompson. So you remove... I mean, we talked about the Warriors being unfair before, but you remove Kevin Durant off that board, and then you remove Klay Thompson off that board. I mean, that's two. You add Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson to any team in the league, and you're making a title contender, right? I mean, is there any team in the league that if you put Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson on it, they aren't contenders or close to contenders? So that's a huge loss. And then you take away Steph Curry, and obviously the Warriors were abysmal. I mean, they're basically a G League team going out there every night. But what I don't get is how, like, many people I've heard say that Curry shouldn't come back this year, should just take the rest of the year off. Aren't people against load management? I thought load management was something that people didn't like, because that's what that would be, load management. And, you know, like, the load management topic this year has been blown way out of proportion, by the way. The load manager's only been Kawhi Leonard. It's nobody else. It's Kawhi Leonard. And no disrespect to Kawhi. I know Kawhi has a real issue. He has like a degenerative knee thigh condition. But has there been load management outside of Kawhi Leonard? Maybe like a game or two here or there for somebody. But the whole topic has been a Kawhi Leonard topic.
And again, we're talking about load management. We're talking about maybe like 10 guys, because it's only the superstars, I mean, that people care about if they're going to sit out. So what, there are like 10 superstars you consider in the NBA right now? It's only when those guys are sitting does anyone care about it.
Spurs a few years ago, when they were sitting Tim Duncan out and Popovich would joke he's old or something like that. And then LeBron had some rest days built in. But LeBron hasn't had any load management in three seasons. He played 82 two seasons ago. He got hurt last year. It wasn't load managed. And then this year, has LeBron missed a game this year? If he has, he missed one, you know, but he's been in the lineup every game this year. So LeBron's not even doing it. That's what initially would set off a controversy. Kawhi Leonard's actually pretty much skated on it, if you're being honest about it. The Clippers have a great situation going on right now, because everyone like pencils them in to the end of the Western Conference and criticizes them not at all during the midst of it. Right? Like the Lakers still catch some shrapnel because LeBron's on the team. But the whole load management thing was Kawhi Leonard this year. All of it. It started because Kawhi was sitting games early this year, like earlier than you would expect someone to be load managed. And he's really the only high-profile player who has been load managed this season is Kawhi Leonard. That's it. So it's a Kawhi Leonard issue, not an NBA issue. But when there was the ratings were down and the like, people were like, it's got to be load management because people like to use their pet peeve to you know, anything that confirmation bias, anything that they can use to support their pet peeve, they're going to do. I mean, when it comes to the ratings for the NBA this year, I think the real reasons they were down, Steph Curry's out, Kevin Durant's out, Kyrie Irving's been out, so on and so forth. Zion was out. You know, like the Pelicans were in primetime games, no Zion. The Warriors in primetime games, no Durant, no Curry, no Thompson. Miserable. And LeBron's on the West Coast now, so he's not in that 8 o'clock slot. The All-Star game ratings were actually way up. All the All-Star activity things were up, which I think is a good omen for the playoffs and the actual interest in the league when things come into play. But people were working on their casual sports calendars, right? Like the casual sports calendar. Maybe there were some people who watched NBA stuff for the first time over the All-Star weekend, if you're a casual fan. And I bet you if you saw that, you're coming back. But how could you possibly be against load management and then want Steph Curry to sit out the rest of the season? And that's kind of the point Steve Kerr hit at when he talked about Curry coming back.
To me, it's never been a question. As soon as he's ready, he's coming back. Our fans deserve it. We need it as a team to springboard into next year, and it's the right thing to do. If he were healthy and we didn't present him to our fans and say, here you go, here's your gift for staying with us for this whole season, what would that say about us, that we don't care about our fans? Are we not trying to entertain our fans? Are we not? We're selling tickets to all these people who love basketball. And Steph Curry is one of the most amazing, graceful, exciting basketball players on earth.
Hey, I'm with Steve Kerr 100%. 100%. It'd be one thing if Curry had a knee injury or an Achilles injury, right? Like something that it takes a long time to get your bearings back. You have to be very careful to build the strength back up. You have to be very careful to not re-injure. That sort of thing I would understand. If Curry had that kind of injury and they thought to themselves, you know what, it's not worth it. Why are we going to bring him back for, what would it be, you know, 15 games or whatnot? We're not going to bring him back for that when we could use that time to get his strength back, to get him fully rehabbed, and to make sure he's 100% healthy going into next year. Cool. Fine. Understood. He broke his hand. Right? I mean, yeah, it was a bad one. He needed surgery because of how bad it was. But it's now healed. It's now healed. If he's ready to play, he's ready to play. And he's a professional. He's being compensated handsomely for his services. Fans are paying tickets. TV rights were sold based on, you know, the NBA product and these guys being available. So I really don't know, you know, the only message you're sending by holding Steph Curry out, considering his injury and considering he's ready, is that one, regular season games just don't matter at all. And I think, you know, when you're talking about the ratings too, isn't that a factor? Like people just, you know, there's no real drama because people know that it's not that important. So you're sending a message that the regular season is completely and utterly irrelevant if Curry's not playing. And you're sending a message to your fans like, sorry, guys, you know, we take you for granted. We take you for granted. Because a lot of those people who bought those tickets didn't buy them last week. And, you know, the game is the game. We all get it. We all get that that's a risk when you buy a ticket. We all get that that's something that might happen when you decide, oh, I'm excited to watch this game on TV. Can't control who gets hurt. That's nobody's fault. But if someone's healthy and you're not playing them, and it's not because they're at risk for re-injury, it's just because, then what are you doing? So, yeah, of course Steph Curry should be back out there for the end of the season if he's healthy. He's getting paid to play. People paid money to see him play. If he's ready to go, he's ready to go. 855-212-4227. No one's saying rush him back. That'd be ridiculous. But if his hand is healed, if they've given it another week or so just to make sure that there's no impact could re-injure it, how do you justify holding him out? I mean, could you really justify holding Steph Curry out the rest of this season? 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Let's go to Bill in Illinois. Bill, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin, how's it going in the morning?
Going well. How are you?
Good. So, you know, going back on baseball, I listening to, you know, the comments with the Manfred and the things that he has said, the one thing I just don't understand, for a guy that's making over, what, $20 million, that gets it that wrong on how he handled this. And no accountability, really, to the players for, you know, I know you're saying taking the trophy away and that's going to be something forever. But at some point, what are you going to do? I mean, I just can't believe there's no accountability for those players. And I would love to see, as a fan, for fans to have the discipline to actually make an impact on the repercussions of things that happen like this, and there's really no accountability for it.
Well, I mean, the fans are having an impact, I think, actually. I mean, not through, like, the pocketbooks, but through their voices. I mean, if people keep talking about it and never stop and keep pressuring them, it's going to have an impact. I mean, that's how a lot of things have started, just from overwhelming public support or overwhelming public pressure. And so far, that seems to be the case. Now, I think what Rob Manfred is really hoping for, what he was hoping for from the beginning, is he'd put this out and then it would pass. And it would pass. So far, it hasn't passed. But we're still in February. You know, you got March Madness coming up. You got the NBA play. Well, you got the NFL draft after that. Tom Brady's going to make his decision. Then you got the NBA playoffs. So on and so forth. You know, at that point, does it pass? At that point, do we get to... You know, do we move on? Does he win? Or are people never going to forget about this and never let it go and keep the pressure on Manfred? And I don't know what happens, to be honest. I mean, that's part of what I am intrigued by. I don't know what's coming next or the ripple effects of this, because we're dealing with it in real time, but it's clearly a significant mark. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Talk a little NFL coming up next. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.